turn the door itself?
No.
Has to go closer to him.
You must be being good.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So inshallah we're going to continue with the seerah dars. Last time we did it was a couple of weeks ago. This is number 77 inshallah today. And we'll do a quick recap of some things we talked about already and then some new things inshallah ta'ala. So we were talking about how the tables turned in the battle of Uhud when the Sahaba disobeyed the direct command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they were, the archers were stationed on top of the Jabal Rumat, or the Jabal of the archers, and then they seeing that the enemy had fled, leaving behind spoils of war, and thinking that the battle is over, they came down, they left their positions, and disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they did that, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was removed, and that's when Khalid ibn Walid, who was not Muslim at that time, he came around the mountain and he attacked the Muslims from the rear. So we know that the Muslims were sandwiched in between, and in the confusion, a lot of the Sahaba, 70 of the Sahaba were martyred, were made shaheed. The Prophet himself was injured. He was injured in this battle. He was bleeding severely because of this these injuries. He lost a tooth because a stone that was thrown. We'll talk about that, inshallah. So that was all because of the disobedience of the Prophet ﷺ. And like I mentioned, I'll mention this again. The Sahaba, the ulama say that they learned the meaning of La ilaha illallah in the battle of Badr, when they were outnumbered, outsourced, and basically the odds were against them, and they had the tawakkul and yaqeen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they learned the true meaning of La ilaha illallah in the battle of Badr, and in the battle of Uhud, they learn the meaning of the second part of the kalima, which is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if we disobey and we go against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then basically we will not have the help of Allah and we will be defeated. So here, some of the people who attacked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one man by the name of Utbah ibn Abi Waqas, and this is the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. So you have Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, who was fighting alongside the Muslims. Another brother of theirs was shaheed in the battle of Badr. Anybody remember his name?
Umair.
Barakallahu fik. Umair ibn Abi Waqas was martyred in, was the shuhada of Badr, and he was under age, he was like 13, 14, 15, so around there, years old, and he was martyred in the battle of Badr. Another brother of theirs, Utbah ibn Abi Waqas, he was on the Kufar side. He was on the side of the Kufar in the battle of Uhud. So he had threw a stone at the Prophet ﷺ, hitting the Prophet ﷺ in the face, and it broke one of the blessed teeth of the Prophet ﷺ. And Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu mentioning later, he said that I did not want to kill anyone more than I wanted to kill my own brother, because how the injury that he gave to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, in the battle of Uhud, I wanted to kill my own brother, his own flesh and blood, because of the injury that he had done to the Prophet ﷺ. Another of the kuffar that attacked the Prophet ﷺ was Abdullah ibn Qaymiyyah, and he came and attacked the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, خُذْهَا وَأَنَا ابْنُ الْقَيْبِيَّةِ. He said that, take this, meaning take this hit, and I am the son of Ibn Qaymiyyah. And the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقْمَاكَ اللَّهُ, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace you and destroy you. So that was a dua that the Prophet ﷺ made against him. And the ulama say that a few days after the battle of Uhud, Ibn Qaymiyyah was actually attacked by a mountain goat, which ripped him apart with its horns. It attacked him. This is the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. It was accepted. And this mountain goat attacked and killed Ibn Qaymiyyah because of that. Another person was by the name of Abdullah ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He threw a stone and injured the blessed head of the Prophet ﷺ. So the head of the Prophet ﷺ was made, and he was bleeding because of that. This man, on the other hand, he actually later on became Muslim, and he died as a Muslim in Mecca. When the Prophet ﷺ was injured in the head because of the stone, Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anh, he's the father of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anh. So he's Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anh's father. Malik radiallahu anhu, he came up to the Prophet and he started cleaning the blessed head of the Prophet. And when there was bleeding, it was a lot of blood, he didn't have any cloth, anything to, you know, so he started to suck the blood with his mouth. He started to suck it, and he sucked all the blood, and he cleaned it, and the Prophet gave him glad tidings. He said, the fire of Jahannam will not touch you, cannot touch you now. And this is similar to another story where Abdullah ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, he was a young child. The Prophet had done hijama, and the blood that they had taken out, the Prophet gave it to Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and he said, take it to a place where no one can touch it, no one can get to it. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, being a child, he took it and he went out and he was looking for a place that he knew, and he started thinking that maybe an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet can find it. So what he did, he actually just drank the blood. He drank the blood, and then he told the Prophet what he did. He said, I put it in a place where no one can get to it. And the Prophet said to him that glad tidings, whoever's blood or whoever's flesh is mixed with my blood, the fire of Jahannam cannot touch that person. Another person that attacked the Prophet was Ubay ibn Khalaf. I don't know if I mentioned this one yet, but Ubay ibn Khalaf, he was the brother. His brother died in Badr. Anybody know his name? I'm sorry? Barakallahu fik. Yes, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who was the ex-slave owner of Bilal radhiallahu anhu, the one who would torture Bilal. And Bilal radhiallahu anhu killed him in the Battle of Badr. So his brother, Ubay ibn Khalaf, he had a special horse that he bought, and he was fattening it, he was feeding it, so that it could get ready, it could be strong enough, and he will attack the Prophet with this horse in one of the battles. So his intention was to use this horse to attack the Prophet and kill him. So he came upon that same horse, he brought it to Uhud, and as he was galloping up to the Prophet, Rasulullah took a spear and stabbed him with it. And this spear went through his armor, and it just nicked his neck, just touched his neck. So he got small, like a scratch or a wound, small, you know, wound on his neck. And Ubay started screaming frantically and running. He went back to his people, to his qawm, and screaming that Muhammad, I swear Muhammad has killed me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that he has killed me. And when the people, you know, they removed the armor to look at the neck, and they said that it's like a small little wound, it's nothing, it's not going to do anything. He says, no. This wound, this prick, or this small scratch that the Prophet has inflicted on me, if it was given, it was distributed amongst all of Quraysh, it would kill them all. Meaning that, and this shows the yaqeen that they had in the words of the Prophet. Because when he would say to the Prophet in Mecca, he would say to the Prophet that I will kill you, I will be the one to kill you. And the Prophet said to him that no, I will be the one to kill you. And he said he had so much yaqeen in this that when the Prophet just nicked him, scratched him on the neck, and he said that the Prophet had killed him. And he was screaming and he was yelling, and they were actually mocking him, making fun of him, saying that this is just a small wound, what are you talking about? He said, no, by Allah he has killed me. I know this is the saying of Muhammad, he said that he's going to kill me, and this is what, and that he actually died from that wound a few days later. Now, one of the things about this time when, again, there was a lot of confusion, the Muslims were fighting, and we'll talk about some of the shuhada next week, inshallah ta'ala. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ was surrounded by a handful of Sahaba. There was not too many Sahaba, there was a lot of confusion going on. And the Prophet ﷺ was surrounded by Ibn Sa'd, rahimahullah, one of the ulama, mu'arikhin, he says that there was 14 Sahaba surrounding the Prophet ﷺ, seven from the Muhajireen and seven from the Ansar. And they say that this number was going up and down. And the reason why it was going up and down was whenever there would be like an onslaught of the enemy, the Prophet ﷺ would send some of them to go and fight them and, you know, and ward them off. So they would leave the Prophet ﷺ and then they would come back. So the number was going up and down. One of them was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, and we talked about him last time in the last class, where the Prophet ﷺ was handing him arrows with his own hand, and he was saying, "Irmi ya Sa'd fidak abi wa ummi." That may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Take these arrows and shoot them at the enemy. Another of the Sahaba that was with the Prophet ﷺ was Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he was a very experienced bowsman, archer. So he, two or three bows, He actually broke while shooting arrows. So he kept on shooting arrows at the enemy until two or three of these bows were useless. He wasn't able to use them anymore. And one of the narrations mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, when he's surrounded by the Sahaba, occasionally he would try to look up and look up at the Muslims and look at the enemy, see what's going on, and look at the Muslims, see what's going on with the Muslims. And Abu Talha, he would say, "Bi abi anta wa ummi la tashrab." He says to the Prophet ﷺ, "Do not stick your head out. Don't show yourself up." He says, "Yusibka sahmun min sahab al qum." Said that if you stand out like this, one of the arrows might hit you. So he says that nahri duna nahrik. He says that my chest is in there to protect you from, meaning my chest gets hit, that's no problem, rather than you getting hit by one of these arrows. So again, the Sahaba, how much they were, the zeal they had and the love of the Prophet ﷺ they had, that they're willing to give up their lives and they're giving their own chests and their backs to be hit by arrows, rather than the Prophet ﷺ being hit by an arrow. Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, he's also one of those who was protecting the Prophet ﷺ. And Talha radiallahu anhu,
what is the full name of Abu Talha?
Abu Talha, I forgot. I saw it the other day. I looked it up, but I forgot his name. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was the stepfather of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and the husband of Sulaym radiallahu anhu. And he was the one who, he was not Muslim, and then he proposed to Sulaym radiallahu anha, and she said that, become Muslim and then I'll marry you. So the mehr that he gave was he became Muslim. So he was known for that. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. I forgot the name, because I had it the other day. Inshallah, I'll look it up again, inshallah. So Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, he's protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At one point, he gets hit, he has a shield, and he's holding it, and he's protecting the Prophet ﷺ. At one point, he puts out his hand, and some of his fingers are cut, and his hand was cut, protecting the Prophet ﷺ, and his hand becomes paralyzed. The Sahaba would later say, "We saw his hand had become paralyzed, protecting the Prophet ﷺ." Another Sahaba, we know his name was Abu Dujana radhiallahu anhu, and he was the one that was given the sword by the Prophet ﷺ before the battle. If you remember that, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Who will stand, who will take this sword with its haqq?" With its right, and Abu Dujana radhiallahu was the one who was honored with being given that sword. So Abu Dujana radhiallahu was also there, and he took arrows to his back, protecting the Prophet ﷺ, standing in front of the Prophet ﷺ to protect him from being hit, and he took arrows to his back. Another Sahabi by the name of Qatada ibn Nu'man radhiallahu anhu, I think I mentioned it last time, but he was also protecting the Prophet ﷺ with his body. And remember, they didn't have shield, they didn't have all the weapons there, they were, it was a lot of confusion going on. So Qatada radhiallahu anhu is standing there in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at one point his eye gets hit by an arrow. His eye gets hit, and his eye starts hanging out of its socket, and he turns to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing him his eye. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes his blessed saliva, it grabs the eye and puts it back in its socket, and it's healed automatically, like it never was hit. So that was one of the miracles that took place in Qatada radhiallahu anhu. He says that his eye was sharper than the other eye, the one that was hit by an arrow and placed back in by the Prophet ﷺ. He said it became sharper than the other eye. Ka'b ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he's also another Sahabi that was there, and he was the one when the Prophet ﷺ was unconscious and the rumor was spread that the Prophet ﷺ had passed away. He recognized the Prophet ﷺ, even though the Prophet ﷺ was wearing full armor. His face was covered with the helmet and he was wearing armor. He recognized the Prophet ﷺ from his eyes. And he called out to the Muslim, he said that, "Glad tidings, this is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he's alive." And the Prophet ﷺ motioned to him to keep silent, because all the enemy will attack. So he told him to keep silent, and he didn't repeat it after that. But the Muslims who heard, they came, and the kuffar that heard, they also came to attack. Now, Ka'ab ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he switched armors with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he put on the armor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lure the attacks of the kuffar on himself. So he basically, just say for example, you have the shirt. So he switched shirts or switched armors with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they'll think that he is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they'll have to come and attack him. So he changed that, and he actually got 20 wounds because of this. 20 hits from the enemy when they came to attack him, thinking that he was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Is it the same with the Tabuk.
Tabuk, yes. Yeah, the same Sahabi that was stayed behind in Ghazwat Tabuk. Jazakallah khair. Now, the cave of Uhud, there's a certain cave, I think I mentioned this, where you can look up online and you can find it. There's a small, it's not really even a cave, it's just like a small, hole in the part of Uhud. And now they close it up, they put like a cement wall, so you can't even get in there. But in the past, it was easy to go climb up there, and you could go inside, you could sit there. And there's actually a surface, like a rock, where the Prophet ﷺ laid down to rest inside that cave. So the Sahaba, they were taking him to the cave, and one of the things, the Prophet ﷺ, he was so weak because of being injured and because of the fighting. The Prophet ﷺ was weak, he wasn't able to climb up the mountain. So at one point, Abu Talha ibn Ubaidah, Allah radha anhu, he jumped on the ground so that Prophet ﷺ can climb on top of his back, put his foot on his back and climb up. And the Prophet ﷺ did that and he climbed up. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Awjaba Talha," meaning Talha has made Jannah wajib for him. So he says this to about Talha, giving him the glad tidings, even though he was also one of those Ashar Mubashireen Bil Jannah, those that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in one hadith, 10 who are going to go to Jannah. So again, in this, he was given also this Bashara that he is one of the people of Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ goes and climbs up and he goes into this cave. And there's a stone there that was there. The Prophet was made to rest or lay down on that stone, and it was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It became smooth for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I've seen it myself. You can go and you can even touch it. It became smooth for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he laid down and he rested on that rock. Now, one other thing that happened in this cave while they were in the cave. The Sahaba all, there was not too much room. So the Prophet ﷺ and just one or two Sahaba were inside the cave, and the rest of the Sahaba were on top of the mountain of Uhud, on top of the mountain. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radhiallahu anhu, he comes forward, and Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu was going to take the chains. So the Prophet ﷺ, on both cheeks, he had the chains because of the rocks that were thrown, because of the arrow that was hit in the face of the Prophet ﷺ, his chains were stuck in the cheek, in his cheeks. So the Prophet ﷺ was injured, he was bleeding, and Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu went forward to take the chains out, and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radhiallahu anhu, he pleads with him. He practically begs him. He says, "Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, you're always in the forefront. Whenever there's any khair, any good, you're always the one to be the first to do the good. So let me do this one time. Let me help the Prophet ﷺ this time." So Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu allows him to go forth. And Abu Ubaidah starts, he says, "I start thinking that if I start pulling it, if I grab it with my hand and pull it out, I might rip the cheek of the Prophet. It might cause him more injury." So he starts thinking, how am I going to do this with less damage? So he thought, okay, like, you know, we have the doctors that use incisors or incisors?
Incisors.
I'm sorry? Tweezers we use, and the doctors, they have these things like small, I forgot what they're called, but I thought inside, they're something like you to grab, small things and, delicate work. So he says that the closest I could think is if I use my teeth. So he says he grabbed on to one of those chains with his teeth, and he bit onto it really hard and he pulled it out. As he pulled it out, his tooth came out also. And then he went to the other side, the other cheek of the Prophet ﷺ. He bit onto it with his other tooth, and he pulled it out. His other tooth came. So his front two teeth came out, taking the chains out of the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the miracles that's mentioned, the Sahaba would narrate this. They themselves, they would say that his face became even more beautiful than it was before. That, usually if you don't have teeth and you smile, people, they make fun of you. Kids, when they lose their teeth, right, when they lose their teeth, and then the parents are laughing at them that, look at their face. So Abu Ubaidah lost his front two teeth, but it was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his face became even more beautiful than it was before. So one other thing, and inshallah I'll end with this. Abu Sufyan came to the foot. So this is after the battle is over. The Muslims are on top of the Uhud, and Abu Sufyan comes to the foot of the mountain. And he asks if the Prophet ﷺ is alive. And the Prophet ﷺ tells the Sahaba to keep silent, don't say anything. And then he says, after not hearing a response, he says, is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu alive? And there was no response. Then he says, is Umar radiallahu anhu alive? And there's no response. So when he hears that there's no response, he says that by Allah, I swear by Allah, these people have been killed. Meaning these three, the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu have been killed. So when he said this, Umar radiallahu anhu could not keep his patience, could not hold himself, and he calls out to Abu Sufyan. He says, "Kadabta wallahi ya adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, you have spoken a lie. You have told a lie. These three are not dead. Abqallahu alayka ma yuhzinuka. Allah SWT has kept these alive and kept those alive that they will give you harshness, or they'll give you huzn, they'll give you troubles later on. So meaning basically Allah SWT has kept them alive. So after hearing this, Abu Sufyan, he says, U'lu Hubal. Hubal is one of their idols. So he says, may the Hubal be, may his name be risen, or may he rise, basically, honoring his own God, his false God. And the Prophet ﷺ tells Umar. Before, the Prophet ﷺ did not tell Umar ﷺ to respond. He told him to keep silent. But Umar ﷺ responded himself when he couldn't hold his patience. And after he said, "Ulu Hubal," when he's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the Prophet ﷺ told Umar ﷺ, now respond. And he told him to respond that he said, "Allahu A'la wa Ajal." That meaning Allah SWT is more glorified and more exalted than your false gods. And then after that, Abu Sufyan, he says, "Inna lana al-uzza wa la uzza lakum." That we have uzza, this is another false god that they had, another idol that they had. We have uzza and there's no uzza for you. The Prophet ﷺ told Umar to respond, that Allahu maulana wa la maula lakum. That Allah SWT is our maula and you have no maula. So that was the response that Umar gave him. Then the third thing Abu Sufyan said, he said, "Al-yawmu bi-yawmi badrin," that this day is equivalent to the day of Badr. Meaning you killed our people, our leaders in the Battle of Badr. Now we have exacted our revenge, and we've gotten our revenge for the Battle of Badr in this Battle of Uhud. Wal-harbu sijal. So that harb is sijal, meaning there's one time one person wins or one side wins, then another wins, it keeps on going up and down. So he says this, and Umar Adhan responds by saying, "La siwa," that they are not equal. He said, "Qatlana fil Jannah," that our dead, our martyred, our shahada, they're in Jannah. "Wa qatlakum fil Nar," and that your dead are in Jahannam. So there's no equivalent. This Badr and Uhud, it's not equivalent at all. Then after this, Abu Sufyan says to Umar, and he says, "Come closer." So Umar Adhan goes forward to see what does he want, and Abu Sufyan calls out to him. He basically comes out of the cave or wherever he was saying, comes a little closer. And Abu Sufyan calls out to him. He says that, "Unshiduka billah." I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, remember they did believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says that, "I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Umar, aqatalna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." That he says, "I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did we kill Muhammad?" So just tell me, like tell me the, and truly and honestly, did we kill him or not? And Umar Adhan says, "Allahumma la," that I swear by Allah, no. "Wa innahu la yasma' kalamaka al-an." He says that, and he is listening to you right now. He can hear what you're saying right now. So Umar Adhan responded to him like this. And then Abu Sufyan, he says, "Anta indi asdaqu min abni qaymiyya wa abar." And this is subhanAllah, you look at this. He says that you are more trustworthy than Ibn Qaymiyya to me. Meaning that I trust you, your words, more than I trust the words of Ibn Qaymiyyah. Ibn Qaymiyyah, remember, he was the one, he attacked the Prophet ﷺ and injured him with a rock, and he said, the Prophet ﷺ fell down, so he started saying, "I have killed, qataltu Muhammad," I have killed Muhammad, I have killed Muhammad. So he spread this rumor. So they thought that the Prophet ﷺ had passed away. So Abu Sufyan asked Umar, "Did we actually kill him?" He said, "No." And he said that, "You are more trustworthy, I trust you more than the words of Ibn Qaymiyyah." Now, another thing, the last thing he said, Abu Sufyan said to him before leaving, he says to Umar radhiallahu anhu and to the Muslims, he says that you will find some of your dead, or a lot of your dead, will have mutilated bodies. They'll have mutilated bodies. And again, we'll talk about this next week, inshallah. So he says that you'll find this mutilation done to your dead. And he says, "Wallahi ma raditu wala nahitu wala amart." He says that, "I swear by Allah that I didn't find any pleasure in this, that I saw them doing this mutilation, I didn't find any pleasure in this, nor did I stop them. I didn't tell them to stop, nor did I tell them to do it. Meaning that that's something they did, I have nothing to do with it, and he's just telling them basically that this is something that we, even that he felt that this was, they shouldn't have done this. And we'll talk about the detail of what they did after that. Now, one thing, Fatima radhiallahu anha, she comes to the battlefield. Okay, Abu Sufyan and them leave, and then Fatima radhiallahu anha comes to the battlefield to see her father, see what's going on, and his head was bleeding a lot. So she's trying to clean the blood, stop the blood, it's not stopping. And Fatima radhiallahu anha gets a piece of a mat, and she burns it, takes the ashes, and puts it on the wounds of the Prophet ﷺ, which helps stop the wounds, so they stop bleeding. One other thing I just want to mention is that Abu Sufyan, when he leaves, now he leaves, and the Muslims, and we'll talk about this next week, the shuhada, we'll talk about the janazah and everything inshallah next week. But Abu Sufyan's going to Mecca, and when they're like about one day's journey away from Medina and towards home, he starts realizing, he says, you know, what are we doing? Why are we going back to Mecca? We had the Muslims surrounded, we had them injured, we had the Prophet ﷺ in the cave, he was injured. Why did we, you know, why do we turn around and come back? We should have finished them off right then and there. So he says, let's turn around, let's go back. We're going back to Medina, we're going to finish off the Muslims. So he starts coming, they actually start marching back to Medina. Now the Muslim, the tribes that were around Medina and the spies that were sent by the Prophet ﷺ, they actually come and bring news to the Prophet ﷺ that the Kuffar are coming back. Abu Sufyan is bringing back the army and they're going to come and attack us again. So the Prophet ﷺ, he tells the injured, and he says only those who had fought in Uhud, no one else. So those 700 Sahaba minus the 70 martyred, 630 who were most of them injured, tired, he says get up, we're going to go out, and they actually camp out at this place called Hamra al-Asad. It's called Hamra al-Asad. It's to the south of Medina Munawwara, and it's past the Miqat, and you'll see there's like a plain mountain. It's a straight mountain, and it's called Hamra al-Asad. The Prophet ﷺ camped there for 10 to 15 days, waiting if Abu Sufyan and the army show up, we're ready to fight. Abu Sufyan, when he found out that the Prophet ﷺ has come out of Medina and is waiting, camped out, and he's waiting for them to come, they got scared and they went back to Mecca. They fled back to Mecca. So inshallah, we'll stop there, and next week we'll talk about the Shuhada of Uhud, and we'll talk about what happened after the Battle of Uhud, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.